أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. انجليزي تسمج لك. We were discussing about guarding the eyes in order to, one of the things in order to keep a perfect and a complete roza. So with regard to that further, and the talk is carrying on for a few days, and maybe some people feel uncomfortable with it also. Some people, if they have, they've got this nature also, that like you passing the customs, and you make lot of dua that I hope they don't stop me, they don't find any dutiable goods or things which are not permitted there, maybe that's all right. And some people, when you go to the doctor also, we ask for duas, everything must come clear. That is quite in order, everything must come clear, test must come clear. But if there is a problem, then it mustn't be they slip up and they didn't catch the problem, and then it becomes worse, and perhaps it can even lead to your sudden death or something. So some people also, with regard to our spiritual problems, they like it very much that those ulama are very good who never touch on these subjects, on the beard, guarding the eyes, etc., on taking interest, on taking bribes, haram earning, and you go and stay by them, you have meals with them, you joke with them, then you tell them all nice fazilat hadiths. They are very happy with that. And if you have to touch on these subjects, then you are no good. But that should not be the case. If there is a problem in a person, we must not play ostrich. That we want to hide our head in the ground and we carry on as if there is no problem. That's not going to solve the problem. You're just bluffing yourself. And you're going to face a terrible problem right in your face. It will hit you hard in your face if you don't solve this problem. So therefore, and Allah reward our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum, who Allah is blessed with a wonderful way also, and he has addressed these problems head on, and he has opened them up fully, and he has addressed them, and he hasn't pulled his punches or anything, but at the same time he has padded his punches very well also. So he, what wonderful way Hazrat has placed his talk. So this is very important. It won't help that we sweep it under the carpet. Many people are also very happy with those ulama's bayans that they never mention Jahannam, they never mention the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. So that is also not good for a person. In other words, then we have got a problem with the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif, from the beginning to the end, where it promises the right doers Jannat, it openly speaks for the wrongdoers, their punishment, etc. The Quran Sharif hasn't hidden it away. So the Quran Sharif, na'uzu billah, could not be wrong. Or it isn't that the Quran Sharif is not for these days. Both things. Two great qualities of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bashiran wa nadhira, that he gives glad tidings to the rightful, those who do good, and he was nadir also. And in fact, the kuffar of Makkah, many times they came, they said that, just don't speak about our idols, just don't talk about that, then we are friends. And that attitude is, like I call you Haji Sahib, you call me Mali Sahib. In other words, I praise you, you praise me. I don't take out your faults, you don't take out my faults, and we just carry on happily like that. Happy cart going, traveling, and no problem, no fight. And all the problems are brewing. And when they will boil over, then it will be terrible. So it's necessary to sort out the problems. Not just to sit on them, to cover them up, but to sort them out. They are absolutely essential. And whoever is sincere will like this, that my problem is being treated, my disease is being treated. And when the disease is cured, that person feels so nice, so well after that. So our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that this disease and all other spiritual diseases, just hoping they'll go away, or just thinking they don't exist, It's not going to solve the problem. The guna of the eyes also, Hazrat says, if you don't solve your problem, you'll become 80, 90 years old. You'll become a Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhtamim of a Madrasa, everything, but this disease won't go. Hazrat also says that there are many people who are, lot of other, their amal, they are doing very good, but they don't reach wilayat, the friendship of Allah, because of this guna of the eyes. That blocks them. They come right till the ocean, but they don't reach the shore. They are all the time, just all, lost all the time, thrown by the waves from this side to that side. There is tahajjud in their lives, good akhlaq in their lives, but the guna of the eyes, they haven't given up, and they don't reach the shore. They don't reach the shore of the wilayat, of the friendship of Allah, which is a very special thing. Hazrat says that when he was in India, when he went for a bayans to India, they had to travel by bus at some place. They were sitting towards the back of the bus. In front there was an old Hindu man, 90 years old. Then a young girl came and sat there close by him somewhere. And he started gaping her, not only with his eyes open, wide open, his mouth also wide open. The conductor came and told him, Kaka, ticket lelo. Take your pay for your ticket. Kaka didn't hear a word. Kaka was in a different world completely. Then he was shaking the person, shook him so much, but still Kaka was lost. He was just in a different world. So a person can become more colder than a deep freeze also, that nothing happens to him now. But in spite of that, the guna of the eyes won't go, and he will still suffer from this, and he won't reach to Allah Ta'ala because of the guna of the eyes, and every ibadat of his will be completely like destroyed. His tahajjud, his thinking of that, his sajda, his tilawat, his du'as all the time. And a person who gets freed of this, he is blessed with a great, great dawlat, a great treasure when he is freed of this. And Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayh, is in his tafsir, Allama, what a tafsir he has made, that inna Allah khabirum bima yasna'un, that on the eyes Allah knows that san'at. Yeah, Allah also, not inna Allah khabirum bima yaf'alun, that what you are doing, or bima yaroon, what you are looking at with your eyes, but it is a whole factory that starts from the guna of the eyes. Like san'at is a factory where you manufacture. So many things get manufactured here. It's a whole factory that starts. So the first tafsir Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi is made bi ijalati nazar. Inna Allah khabirun bi ijalati nazar. How you are looking, how you're turning your eyes and all that. And then if you are winking with your eyes, whatever, all that Allah Ta'ala knows everything, how you are looking. And the different ways, whether you are recording somebody on the camera today, or whether you're looking in a mirror, whether you're looking, if you are looking this side, but you're looking at somebody that side. There's a mirror here, so you saved your eyes. I'm not looking there. I'm looking this side, but all think that, oh, big buzurg, he's not looking there. But from this side, you are looking that side. Or you got your tinted windows on your office, etc. Women are there, and you are watching. Allah is fully aware of that. And then the second tafsir, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِإِسْتِعْمَالِ سَائِرِ الْحَوَاسِ. Now all your five senses that start working, Allah knows that. Your eyes, you are seeking. Your eyes seek is seeing. Now all your five senses start working. You think more, and now you are planning. All your mind is working. All those things, all that Allah Ta'ala knows. Then the next stage after that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِتَحْرِيكِ الْأَعْضَى. Your parts of your body that start now, with your legs, you move that side, with your hand, you pick up the telephone, you dial the numbers. Allah is fully aware of all that. And the final stage, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَقْصُدُونَ بِذَلِكَ. What your intention is for with that, what you want to achieve by that, what your final point is, that also Allah Ta'ala is fully aware. So Allah Ta'ala knows fully, and nobody can bluff Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is so well aware of us that we are not aware of ourselves. Allah Ta'ala is aware of that. And then the other thing is that this does not remain only to seeing. as this tafsir goes, it goes to the final, what your final intention. What your intention is of that, that also, it leads you to there. So, and who is not aware that what this illicit love affairs and illicit relationships, extramarital affairs, it's so common, and still we feel we shouldn't speak about it. How many homes there isn't, as we say that perhaps here in South Africa, there isn't a person or a home that hasn't been affected by crime. In the same way in the world, there may be not a home or a person that hasn't been affected by this. Marriages breaking up, how many marriages are breaking up, how many good homes and people married 40, 50 years, their marriages breaking up, and this is the cause of it. And then those in you can't bring it into record, the sufferings that come, the heartaches, the poor small children that are suffering, and almost every home is affected, and it all starts from here. And this was Allah Ta'ala's great ihsan, that Allah told us, from your eyes control it, your tongue you control it. These are the two things that lead to all these things here. So Hadrat explains a few incidents. In fact, my first meeting with Hadrat, when Hadrat came to South Africa the first time, Hadrat mentioned this, and from there I became very impressed with Hadrat. That Hadrat explained that there was a Miyaji, a person who teaches in a madrasa, who is not a qualified alim, just teaching small children, which is common in India, Pakistan, Miyaji, and a blind Miyaji. So he was teaching the children, and once when we went to Hadrat, then today Hadrat has one majlis at night, the second last majlis after supper, late at night, 11, half past 11, sometimes in summer 12 o'clock. And this majlis is a majlis of jokes, where jokes are said. And the reason for that is so many people come there and in the world who are suffering from depression. And Hadrat says, I have to treat that disease of theirs also. And by this jokes majlis, lot of people, very short it is, 5-7 minutes, but lot of people who came with depression went to her smiling and happy from there. So I mentioned this incident which Hadrat had told us. After that, Hadrat was so happy, and Hadrat called me and he embraced me, and he was so happy with this that I said this was the first thing that I heard from Hadrat and by which I got impressed. And also what Allah gave me tawfiq, I added that those who are ulama, who are in dini service, they have to take a great lesson from this. This is a great lesson for them, because when a person will speak about deen, people get influenced, and you speak of the love of Allah, more the people get influenced. And naturally, why a person loves his sheikh so much, when he learned the love of Allah from his sheikh, he loves his sheikh. He can't help it. From who you got this, when once you get the love of Allah, and now from who you got it, all this wasait, all this wastas, you start loving them also. And that will happen even to a female muridni. She also, now here it becomes very critical, and you have to be very careful. So yeah, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, when female murids used to write, and they say, mujhe aapse bahut muhabbat hai, you should make a sign there and write, muhabbat mat likho, mujhe aapse bahut aqeedat hai, that I've got lot of aqeedat, lot of respect for you. Don't use the word muhabbat, though it is muhabbat, but you don't use that word. Shaitan will play havoc on a person. So even you're teaching, you make somebody's child a hafiz, the mother also, she's indebted to you, she's going to die for you. You made my child a hafiz, you made my child an alim, you taught him Quran Sharif, and in the madrasa where there is a good madrasa, tarbiyat also is done. You teach the child akhlaq also. You must respect your parents, respect your elders. Now the mother sees what I couldn't get right, the ustad got it right, they become happy. So this Miyaji was teaching, so one lady, she was appreciating what he's teaching her child, so she used to send mithai for him. But he got the wrong impression. He thought she's got some other intentions. So he told the child, tell your mother that the next time your father is not at home, I'll come eat the mithai at home. So he told his mother, innocent child, and he went and said, so the mother understood that he's got, and she was a Allah wala. She was a pious woman who had taqwa in her, and she understood, oh, Miyaji is blind also, but he's got this bimari, he's got some problem, so we have to treat his problem. So she arranged with her husband, and then after a few days, she told the child, go and tell Miyaji that your father is not at home, and your mother, Amma, told you must come eat the mithai at home. So Miyaji, blind also, but he put surma in his eyes also. He's going now that night, so he put surma, everything, dressed up, he went there. So he knocked on the door, she opened the door, he went in, and then he hardly went in. Another dog knock on the door, so he got shocked, what is this? So she checked, oh, it's the husband. So he said, now what's going to happen? I'm here. So what call it? So she said, just take my burqa, cover yourself, and sit in the corner. And there's papar belna, to roll out the papar. So quickly, just get busy. I'll just make a story with him. So the husband came in. She husband asked, who's this here? So he said, no, there's just one neighbor in the neighborhood, a lady, and I just asked her to help me to the papar. And she said, whenever it's safe, I'll tell you can go out. So the husband and wife went to their room. Whole night the poor man was just there. From here the same came, papar belna. This all proverbs don't just come out like that. So the poor man, whole night, papar belna, papar. Then close to Fajr, just before Fajr, she said, now it's okay, you better just go. So he went away. After a few days again, some time, she wanted to check now if he's treated, if he's all right. So she told the child again that go and tell Miyaji that my father is gone away. My mother said, if you want, you can come have mithai, you can have it at home. So he sent a message, ask your mother, are those papers finished? That now you want again, I must go and I must start again rolling papar whole night. So that way they did the treatment. She did her treatment still lightly. Mufti Razaul Haqsa, the Ahmed Barakatum of Darul Ulum Zakaria, when I told him this, so he told in their area, Pathan area, there they are very hard and strict. So there also one Miyaji had some bad intentions like this. So the arrangement was made, and he went to go and meet at the house. The lady told she must come, and as he walked up the steps, there were a few steps to climb up to go into the house, she shot him dead. Their guns are very common, and forget the man, the woman also. They first shoot, then they ask you, why are you here? Even for a stranger, that area, Pathan area, that is how they live till today. So America or Russia or UK can forget weaning in Afghanistan. That's a different nation, a complete different breed. There you can, they must forget. And after that, the court, Jirga, the village council sits. There is no government, there is no rule there. Pakistan government also don't rule over them. They rule themselves. They sat down what to do about this. They gave her a prize, in fact. Not that they found her guilty, of, like in our courts, they find the woman guilty. Why you kill this person? There they gave her a prize, your izzat and your respect and our community's honor. You safeguarded it. So this is the case. Hadrat explained another story also, that one husband and wife, they were very poor, they had nothing, so they made a plan that how to make money, to take out some money from somebody. So they had a big box, like in India still today, a peti, big box you have, where you keep your lihaf, your added downs, godras, winter they pack them all away in there. So they had a big box like that. So one day, this man said, our problem is this box here. People think we got a big box, like a big safe. We got lot of money, so nobody even gives us zakat. So I'm going to go and burn this box. But what plan they made? The wife dolled herself up or properly all with cosmetics, everything. Then she went to the Chief Justice, Qazi Sahib. And she told, when she went there, a whole lot of court cases there, she winked her eye at him and she told him, I got a problem. He asked, what's your problem? She said that my husband treats me very bad. He abuses me physically, verbally, everything. And she had winked her eye, and the way she was speaking, all this, that language of the eye and the facial language tells a lot. So he understood that she actually has got some other intention. So he may pass there the verdict there that this case cannot be heard here in court. It has to be heard where it has happened. So I have to go to the house there. And there I have to go and hear this case at the house there. It can't be heard here in court. So he went there, they made the arrangement. So she said, you must come so and so time. So when he went there, he went in, also Qazi Saab all well dressed and everything. So as he entered, then after that another knock on the door. Who is this? The husband came. Now what am I going to do? Husband has come now. So he said, only one thing, this big box here, you jump in it, you hide in here. And when it's safe, then I'll tell you to come out and you can go away. So he sat and jumped in the box. Husband came straight away, he went to the box, kicking and knocking at the box with a stick and everything. And he says, this is the problem. Because of this box, nobody is giving us zakat. Now I'm taking this box now to the chorai, to the crossroads in the center of town. And I'm going to burn it there. And poor Qazi Saab, Chief Justice, is sitting inside. And I'm going to burn it now. So the wife also, just they had planned it all, pleaded, no, don't take it now, it's all right. He said, no, now I'm taking it. And he got four laborers, and he took it right to the middle of the town. And the Chief Justice inside, and he says, now, bring firewood, bring paraffin, bring petrol, and I'm lighting it, and because of this, nobody giving us zakat. And if this thing must be got rid of. Because this is not. So the poor Chief Justice from inside whispered, shouted to the laborers that please make a plan and go to my deputy and tell him to bring all the money in the safe and give it to this man, but tell him not to burn this box here. Because if you're going to burn it, he's going to burn, roast it alive in front of everyone. So they went, and he went and gave the message there. And when the deputy came and he spoke to him, he said, yeah, it is this. Our Chief Justice is in here. So he brought all that money, gave it to this man. Then he said, okay, now I'm not burning it. Took it home. Somehow he got out from there. He got saved. When all that money got finished, the woman went one day again to the court. And again she smiled and winked. So she came in from this door, he ran out from that door. So that is what a person must do. Don't go through this process and then you run. Immediately, whenever there is this danger of a woman anywhere near, over the telephone, anything, to be on your guard. Otherwise you're going to destroy yourself. You'll destroy your family and everything. And this leads into so many other extra affairs. And they are so common. And in one country we went, one person from that country came to this other country. And they were explaining of that country. They say in that country nobody is without a girlfriend. It can be anyone. It can be the Amir of Tabligh Jamaat. It can be Maulana. That country is like that. So there are certain places where it's extremely dangerous. And also our Sheikh Ahmed Barkatu says that like when many people feel, well, I'm all right. I'm an old Maulana here in the town, 40, 50 years. I'm old already. I'm old age also. So I'm quite safe. Nothing can happen. He talks freely with the woman. And many places this happens. Talk freely. No parda, talk freely. Allah knows why he put his command. The example, so effective and striking example Hazrat gives, if the electricity department is working on the electricity, so they send 1 week, 2 weeks before time, a card, a notice, that we will be working in this area, and there won't be electricity between 8 to 5, whatever it might be, but they put a condition, but don't touch any wires, treat them as live. Though we in between we might switch on the current. At the end, we don't know when we finish, but from 8 to 5, we are saying there won't be, but don't touch any wires. There may be just current in there. So Hazrat say the same way, you don't know when current will come in you. You have just come from Hajj, Umrah, and you are old man, and you are sickly also. How many sick people in the hospital interfere with the nurses? They're going to their qabr. Mort is staring them in the face, but that also doesn't deter them. So that current, you don't know when it will come. Or you say, this is now an old lady. Hazrat explained this story also. One old Mali Saab, he said that I'll never get influenced by Shaitan, will never be able to let me make any guna like this. So Shaitan said, I'll show this Mali Saab. So where he used to go and teach, he had to pass a little stream. And he had to walk across, no bridge or anything. So when he went there one day, and now he had to just walk across, There he found an old lady, and the old lady said that today the water is a bit more stronger, it has rained, and I can't walk across. Won't you take me across? Then what does shaitan put? To make khidmat, old lady, I must help her out. Whereas Allah's command is to make parda. Like this, many of us also. Now we find a lady on the road, now I must give her lift. If I don't give her lift, the other people, they are wolves. I don't know what they'll do to this lady. But bima yaqsuduna bidhalik, what your niyat is. You forget what your niyat is. What shaitan tells you, no, I must help out this lady. Today is a very dangerous time. Young girl on the road, if I don't pick her up, I don't know who will pick her up. And I'm picking her up just to take her safely. But from just a lift, how many homes have broken up? Two sides homes have broken up just by giving somebody a lift, by that small little thing. So this old lady told the smali sahab, so he said, no problem, you come and sit here on my shoulders and I will carry you across. So he started carrying her, and as they were going into the water, she's becoming heavier and heavier. When they came in the middle, she became very heavy. Now he was wondering, what's this here? Then she spoke that I'm that shaitan. You said that you'll never ever get involved in any guna. Where is it, Jait? And you're putting your hands on the thighs to control her. But the outward is to control her, and you're rubbing her thighs all the time. And you are taking her across. And the most delicate part of her body is rubbing against your neck also, all the time. And this way you are taking her across. So I'm shaitan. You said you'll never ever become prey to shaitan. Yeah, you are. So this is how shaitan will work. And there are so many instances. I just mentioned one or two which come to mind. One recent case, in fact it's present at the moment, in one place, a young girl who became an alima, and a good girl from a good family also, 100% everything good. One boy found her, asked her some masala. He got her number somewhere. And he asked her a masala, and she showed the masala. And then he phoned again, and he told that I need help. If somebody can guide me, I don't know deen, somebody can teach me. And now in that shaitan came. And she said, it's all right, I will teach you, I'll help you. And they started communicating. So then she had to get literature to him. She started, not with her parents' permission, hiding, and she went into town and they made arrangement where they'll meet, gave her literature. This was just all the starting still, little, little. Then it became more, there they fell in love now. And then he wanted to marry her. Her parents were not prepared to hear it about it at all. There was no munasabat between the two at all. But now they were in love already. And she was an alima. And she was obedient to her parents, but this forced her that she eloped from home. She ran away with that boy, they got married, they made her pregnant, and after that he divorced her. And now he doesn't want to know anything. And now she's crying that, I don't know, how come I got involved in this? I was never like this. Just that little voice contact, and where and where it led. Now her parents are so upset. And the advice they are giving to her, that now, very difficult for you to get married again. Marry the same boy, but he's not interested. He just dumped her. That is how many men carry on. At the beginning, they make so many promises and everything. And then once the enjoyment period is over, then they have nothing to do with that person. So, and how many, and everyone must be knowing cases. Everywhere there are the cases like this, all the time. So this is a guna that we must try for your own sake, for your respect and your honor. There were so many people, ulama, in our country, that the people caught them and shaved off their beards when what had happened and what had come to be known. Then they shaved off their beards, but still don't think bad. That same alim, his maut came Friday in Jumma namaz, in sajda his maut came. On the one side, this happens, and that made that person make so much tawbah, and by his tawbah and the way people treated him and how they spoke bad about him, Allah gave him other status on the other side. But this guna leads to disgrace to a person, and it leads to destruction to a person. Not only your wife now, she has to face the music also. From all sides, people will be phoning to her, your husband did this, your husband is involved. You don't know how to face your wife. If you got your small children also, though they act as though they don't know, even children catch up, and they also know. And if they are grown up children, and how many cases, one person here who came to the Khanqa, father-in-law involved somewhere, and what type of a woman, and he's not prepared to listen to anyone. Now your daughter, married daughter, and now the son-in-law, what respect will he have for his father-in-law? And if he loses respect for his in-laws, it mustn't happen he loses respect for his wife. And he repeats the things again. And the poor young girl will suffer all the consequences again. And how many women are suffering quietly? They keep the respect of the husband. They know what is happening, but they keep the respect of the husband. And in silence they are suffering all the time. And all this is from the eyes and from the tongue and the ears. You hear a voice on the phone, or that voice made me mad. I just went out of my mind. That voice was such a thing. Nothing made you mad. Shaitan overtook you. That is all. So this is not a small matter, a very serious, and it's very, very important. And a person gets remedied from this, Allah gives him so much of izzah. A person who can look after his eyes, Allah gives that person a lot of izzah. We went to Swaziland now, about the beginning of July. At the border, on the Swaziland side, that person asked, now Appa was what? Why is she covered? He said, you are too strict. Your religion is very strict. So Allah gave us tawfiq. I explained to him, no, it's not strict. It is for protection. It isn't to put somebody in a jail, but for protection. So he asked, how? Which way? What protection? So I explained to him that Allah Ta'ala has made a woman's face. Her beauty lies in her face, all her attraction, and when it's open, and I say, you know, everywhere where men and women work together, what is happening? So he says, yeah, that is true. So he says, then why isn't your face covered? Why only the woman's face? Why not the man's face? So I said, the attraction is more in the woman. Allah has kept beauty there. And women are such that they are not so bold to make advances and approaches. Men are more bold. And men always take the initiative. 99% of the cases is the men who take the initiative. So, and also necessity, worldly work has to carry on. And men are supposed to be outside. Women are actually supposed to be just at home. So men, if there are only men everywhere, all their faces are open, there is no problem also. And women won't make an approach simply to a man. Man makes approach. The woman has to be protected. So talking further, so he says, like in your case, AIDS, I told him AIDS is zero. He got a shock and he went and called all the other officers. And he brought and he said, this is our solution. That if we follow this here, then we, because Swaziland AIDS is one of the highest in the country, in the world. So he says that if we follow this, so, and how much money is being spent on AIDS today? The treatment of AIDS and what controversies carry on about it. And Allah gave us the solution, not from the private parts first from the eyes, from the tongue and the ears. If these senses are looked after, Allahu Akbar, what the world is spending on AIDS treatment today, if they just spend a billionth of that on protection of the eyes, the tongue and the ears, and make their laws to do this, how lot of finances will be saved? And then how many of emotional stress and problems will be saved? And then how much of the children who become delinquents in the process? Their parents are living, but unfortunately they orphans those children. The father, the mother, and in some cases the father wants the children to be more to him, so he spoils them. The mother wants them to be more, and they spoil the children. They don't show love to their children, and they are not brought up properly. And Allah Ta'ala has kept the natural thing that every person needs soft treatment and hard treatment. So Allah Ta'ala has put the mother and father there. So mother will always be normally soft. Father will be more strict. And both of them are absolutely essential. Just like marriage is like a cart with two wheels. And both wheels have to be on their sides. If both wheels are on one side, then the cart won't move. And if there are no wheels, the cart is not going to move. So if both parents also have this, both parents are working and nobody at home, that house is a failure. The children going, though now you are making more money, you're buying more things, and you're buying things which you don't need. And you're just wasting your money, the double income that, Allah Akbar. Our Shaykh Namat Barakatum says, the solution to the economical problem of the world, Islam has given that. That Islam has said, that today what is happening, many homes, husband and wife are working. So when both are working, their income is double now. And now that wife, she has displaced one man from his job. So there is another house where both are out of job. The husband and wife, both are out of job. That woman took this man's job. Whereas if all the women stay at home, then all the men earn, standard of living might come a little down. Your income will go a bit low, but all homes will have enough. At the moment, if all the women stay at home, all the sexual problems will come to an end, and if inefficiency will come to an end to a great extent, and economy will come to a control to a great extent. So this is the solution. So if so both wheels, if they are on the one side working, then also that cart is not going. Both wheels on the other side and not working, then also the cart. Both wheels are hard. Mother and father is hard on the child, then also the tarbiyat of the child is not going to be made properly. And both are soft, then also the tarbiyat will not be made properly. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that one Maulana went to somebody's house, a friend's house, and he brought his child for dua. The child just saw the Maulana and he started screaming. So the friend told, he was a friend of the Maulana, he says, you see, that is why we don't keep beards. The child just saw your beard and he got frightened. And he started screaming. And he thought, who is this, some Madala? Or who is this who has come? So because of that. So that Maulana explained, no, he's not frightened for that. He's some frightening person. A child by nature has got fear, respect and fear for his father. And for the mother, he'll even slap her in the face. And he'll even do anything to his mother. But father, he won't take a chance. So today, he thought, till today, he was thinking he's got two mothers. Because both, no, mother also no beard, father also no beard. So today, he thought, now I'm his father. So now he's got fear for his father, that's why he's crying. So both these things are required for every person. In short, this guna of the eyes is a terrible thing. And committing of guna is like, and as we had explained, that our islah, that our Ramzan, our niyat must be, our islah must be made. Otherwise, we can made a lot of ibadat the whole month. It is like people, mashallah, getting zamzam from Makkah Sharif, 20 liter cans. It's coming quite freely, quite easily now. And if you have your 20 liter zamzam, or you have a 200 liter zamzam can, and one drop of urine you put in there, all that zamzam also. So the whole month's ibadah, 2,000 liters of ibadah you made. And now your guna you put in there also, it destroys it. You are a very health conscious person. You only eat health food. But together with that, 1 gram, 1 milligram of poison also you eat. What's the use of that? Well, with all that, so many people, we get bluffed with our ibadah, and we don't think of giving up guna. We're doing a lot of work of you running a big Darul Uloom also, and you are going for Hajj Umrah every year. You can spend every Ramzan in the Khanqah. You're going in Jamaat 4 months a year. Whole life you gave in Jamaat also. But together with that, you're committing guna also on the quiet. You're destroying everything of yours. That guna, one drop of urine makes all that napak. So all this guna, it destroys all the effect. So the important thing is to give up guna. And these are those gunas, the guna of the eyes, the guna of the ears, the guna of the tongue, the guna of the nose. So we explained about guna of the tongue in a bit detail also we tried. Then guna of the eyes we went a bit more. And this is very, very important. And if this can help us, then and we make an effort. Without an effort, it's not going to happen. Just wishing it goes away, A person got cancer and just wishing it goes away. He doesn't take treatment. Just by wishing it won't. And just by du'as also, Allah's system is such that Allah has kept this world a cause or an effect. Just du'as. If somebody, for example, you went to the airport and you had to catch your flight and it was full, or you came a bit late and they closed the flight, and somebody else at that moment was getting onto the Saudi flight, and you tell that person, please, when you get to Makkah Sharif, go to Multazam and make dua for me, that this flight of mine, it's full, there's no place, they don't want to give me place, or it's I'm late, but I'm going to catch another flight. You want to go to the north, and another flight is empty that's going to the south. So I'll sit in that, and you go to Multazam, and there you make dua to Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, that I'll sit in the flight that's going to the south, but make dua that Allah must let me reach the north. The dua you can make, it's even in the hadith it comes that don't even make such duas. That is, you're not even allowed to make such dua. And even if you make in this world, Allah's qudrat is there. And how beautifully Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained that this is also a possibility that it can happen. You sit in the flight going here and you reach there. But it is that possibility which is impossible in this world. It is a possibility, but it's an impossibility which is impossible. So it won't work like that. So in the same way that taking du'as of people, many people, and nasihats, and it comes in the hadith, you must ask for du'as, for nasihats, it's a good thing. But for what is nasihat? A person listened to a whole bayan 1 hour. After that he said, please make me nasihat. So what was he doing for that 1 hour? Now, which other nasihat you want now? First make amal. We had one friend of ours when we were in Jamaat. He was from West Bengal, Maulana Irshad Sahib. So he told me that his biggest worry to answer on the day of Qiyamah is that we are going to be asked of the knowledge that you are given, how much amal did you make? Today everyone likes to take more knowledge. We take more, do this takhassus, do that. It's good in its place. But we're going to be asked of all the knowledge you had, how much amal did you make? More knowledge we have, then, but amal we're not worried about. Amal has to couple with ilm. But that we are not worried about making amal. All we want is more knowledge all the time. So we have to, just dua is not going to be sufficient. Ilm is not going to be sufficient. Sohbat, and sohbat also, which our Shaykh Namat Barakatum says, wa hasana ulaika rafiqa. Or kya khub hai in logo ki rifaqat. That this is isme afaal ta'ajjub. That their company, that min al nabiyyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada wa salihin wa hasana ulaika rafiqa. Their company is very wonderful. But there is ishara in here also, you must have husne rifaqat. Your rifaqat, your company, when you go to your mashayikh, then your company must be also, there must be beauty, husn in there. And in that husn, your niyat must be correct. Many people, for example, even bayat, or we keep contact with buzurgs, with pious people, ulama, we even invite them to our house, we tell them, just come, you just rest. We just want to make your khidmat, feed you, look after you. And you just make dua for us. We just want your duas. All that they do, but just having that, but you don't want to change your way of life. You still want to carry on with your haram things, your business is haram, your lifestyle is haram. That you don't want to change, just this barakat is not going to solve the problem. Many people, very, very common, and there is one specific group of people who are just out to make money. But any problem they have, just go to some Maulisab, then they have their family Maulisab, Taweez. He must just make Taweez. The Taweez, Latakti Rahe, and it must do magic. We must carry on with our Be Pardagi, going to cinema, bioscope, shopping malls, going, dressing badly, doing everything wrong. Weddings we are doing wrong, lifestyle is wrong, but the Taweez must take away the bimari. Taweez must take away our financial problems. It doesn't work. Islam is not a Christian type of religion. That day you just go to church on Sunday, everything alright. Just believe in Jesus, and He died for your sins on the cross. Now you can do what you want to. No, yeah, you are responsible. Everyone is responsible for his own actions. Not just that dua is going to solve your problem, and just not coming, going in jamaat, sitting in the khanqah, going for hajj, umrah. That's not going. You have to bring a change within yourself. That is when you are going to benefit. And just wishful thinking is not going to get, and sweeping things under the carpet are not going to solve our problems. So when you go to khanqah, anywhere, jamaat, wherever it is, hajj, umrah also, then there must be husn in that. And that is our niyat must be right. And which we don't think about, the most important in every ibadat also, the object of Allah Ta'ala declared for all ibadat. Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. The object of ibadat which Allah defined, so that taqwa comes in you. If you are making ibadat, whatever type of ibadat, and taqwa is not coming, you're driving the latest top of the range Rolls Royce, but you're driving it to Jahannam. You're not driving it to Jannah. You are making your ibadat, whether you're coming to the khanqah, whether you're sitting in the haram, whether you are spending time in jamaat, but if deen is not coming, taqwa is not coming, you're not changing your life, then you are driving a top car, but you are driving it in the wrong direction. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab Patel Dam Rahmatullah Ali used to tell his murids, they're sitting there and they are doing all wrong business. He says, by you coming majlis every week and you bluffing yourself, well, I'm going to Maulana's majlis every week and I'm listening there, so I'm all right. Until you don't change your business and correct your business and correct your lifestyle and what on the quiet gunas we are making, until we don't give them up, then it's not good. That is not husna rifaqat. Then even Allahu Akbar, has read such a beautiful poem that if the words will come, Maulana Abdullah Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali said, Ahmad Barakatum says, in a poem in Urdu is sher, and a lion is also sher. There is sher and that is sher. So he says, kabhi sher jungle mein ghum jata hai. You can't see the sher in the jungle. So kabhi ye sher bhi ghum jata hai. Wo nahi aata. So anyway, so karpir tera laathani ho. That is the second part. That if you are committing sins on the quiet, anything, your sheikh can be such that there isn't a second to him in the world. He is the greatest sheikh in the world. But you won't get any benefit from him also if you are committing sin on the quiet. So that is what is the thing. The person, his niyat is, and he makes an effort. And if he errs, we are human beings, sincere tawbah. And we don't just think, well, this just carries on in life like this. And we just make, that is the condition of the non-believers when halat, conditions come. They say this happens in the world. First flood after 60 years. So in the world after 60 years, floods come, heat wave comes, this comes. No, they don't see that it's the cause of our action that has brought this. That they don't see. That this in the world, it happens. It happened 200 years ago. It happened 15 years ago. It happened so long. It happened in this earthquake here, earthquake in Haiti, earthquake in Pakistan, Kashmir, earthquake in Japan. These things happen. No, there is a cause, direct cause, why it happened there and why it happened then. This is from Allah Ta'ala. That we don't see. We don't want to take. And our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum stresses on this point. When we are, for example, on the dastarkhan table eating, and a glass drops. Kisne giraya? Hazrat asked, who dropped this? Then, kya hua? What happened? Everyone say, glass gir gaya. The glass fell. So Hazrat asked, it fell on its own. Kisne giraya? Nobody wants to say, maine giraya. That responsibility we don't want to take. Glass gir gaya. Plate gir gaya. Khud ba khud gir gaya. Does it happen? No, till we don't take responsibility of our actions. And I'm responsible for this wrong and rot that is set in. I'm responsible. Till then you don't move one step forward. You can give the most flowery bayans and you can make the whole night tahajjud and all, but you're not going to get anywhere till you don't take responsibility. So first we have to take and make niyat on to correct myself. And mashallah, those who do this, they move and they reach the destination. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. So the guna of the eye is not so small thing. It has a lot of repercussions. And it has got terrible effects. And in the hadith, النَّظْرُ الْعَيْنُ حَقٌّ, the eye is true, the effect of the eye. Good nazar has got great effect, and bad nazar has got terrible effect. And this bad nazar on woman, etc., it has got also terrible effect. How many places the father-in-law getting involved with the daughter-in-laws? This happened, the eye is bad. So he's getting involved with the daughters-in-law, but the sisters-in-law in the home. But because of the family respect, nobody speaks about it. And how worse now in Muslim homes, father getting involved with his own daughters. He's getting involved with a person, and therefore our mashayikh, Allahu Akbar, Hadhrat Mashayikh Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, are the great buzurgs. Their own daughter, Mala Abdul Ghani, when his daughter became Siyani, not Baligh son, she became just the age that now the girl understands what are things about womanhood. He never looked at her directly in the face. And some of our fathers hugged their young girls and hugged them and hold them tightly. This is haram. It's your own daughter, but you're not allowed to, in this days of fitna and what evil is carrying on. How can you hug your young daughter like that? It's not allowed at all. Our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum, his daughters-in-law, if they were amongst other women, he won't recognize that this is my daughter. Though there's no parda with their daughter, but they don't look at them directly. How lot ihtiyat they make. So in this there is lot of caution, and it's only good for a person. This is not to harm us in any way, but it's only good. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.